FBI man, how do you feel about Ruby Ridge and Waco? Remember that? You guys and Janet Reno, what you did? How do you feel about that?
That I'm my own person.
Talk is cheap, especially coming from zero.
How about action?
Yeah, how about that? Come on, FBI man, spit it out.
It means everything to you, huh? The Bureau?
Maybe. Maybe it's the only reason I got forgiven every fucking one.
I asked you.
I'm just that fucking sad.
I asked you a question. God damn it.
I can't walk away from the hunt for the most twisted minds on God's green earth.
I better believe it.
Or maybe I've just seen too many dead eyes and kids that ain't never grown up.
That's right.
But I'll tell you this. When Weaver's wife got killed at Ruby Ridge, and all those kids went up in flames in Waco, I nearly resigned right then and there. I was so goddamn ashamed of FBI.
It's hard on
a FBI. Fidelity, bravery, integrity. Those words used to mean something.
Good morning, boys and girls. We're right here in the bunker again, right here at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Ready to go on this 21st day of April, Moon's Day, 2014. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you went out there and gave reverence to the sun and picked some flowers and maybe went skinny dipping. Hope you stayed out of those mind control centers, though. Millions of white people went flocking into them. The mind control centers, where Christ's insanity is the big issue of every day. That's right. It's a moneymaker. Roughly $500 billion a year is made off Christianity in this country, North America alone. And then millions and millions are shipped out of the country. I know that a tremendous amount of that money is coming right from the county I live in. It's unbelievable. I had the figures one time. We used to have a guy wrote for one of the little throwaway papers. He used to itemize taxes and everything, where money went and all that kind of stuff. And they put enough pressure on him that he quit. Get yourself a good ad machine and list all the churches in your county and find out what they at least say on paper they took in every year. You're not going to believe it. You're going to be shocked out of your shoes, man, to know how much money is drained off your community and your county to go over to some big head church, you know, or go across the seas to Somaliland or someplace like that. And then people crab about being broke, don't have any money. Well, first thing to do is quit giving it to the churches, because they're just going to keep you in slavery, man. Mental slavery. Now, most of the old right-wing racial people, they won't give up on Christianity, and they're afraid to because the donations might go to hell. If you tell the truth, the donations go down. But old terrible Tommy has always had a habit of saying, frankly, I don't give a damn. I'm too old now to worry about it, and I've been saying this for a long time. You got to do something about this Judaized Christianity, because it's tremendously dangerous, and it's behind so much of the military-industrial complex. Even though those guys in most of them in there don't the military-industrial complex don't believe, they're not believers, but they will use the believers, you know, against the Islam's people and so forth, and Islamic people use it back against the Christians and like that. It's a damn shame. You know, the Jews keep talking about their homeland of Palestine, which is a bunch of crap. All their big exploits and their empires and all that, which is almost all crap. But do you know that the Greeks had a flourishing civilization in Palestine for hundreds of years? I think the Greeks ought to claim Palestine and then make a deal with the Palestinians. Why in the hell should the people, the fake Palestinian types, the Jews, just a ragtag desert tribe that had a good sponsor. So the Greeks, why in the hell don't you go after Palestine? You lived there hundreds and hundreds of years as a flourishing system. So it's yours. Go get it, Greeks. New Dawn, there you go. Take the Holy Land. Occupy it. Well, I always like to start off the week by offending everybody, including myself. This article's from the Diversity Incorporated people that are so thrilled that there's race mixing. The more race mixing, the better. Because once we're race mixed, there won't be any problems. Duh. Won't be any wars, won't be any starvation, won't be any, no divorces, anything like that. It's going to be wonderful when we mix enough. Of course, there's no evidence to support that anywhere in history of the world. In fact, just the opposite. It says here, for its 125th anniversary issue, National Geographic released an edition documenting what America will look like in 2050. I sent this along to you in an email. So, photos taken by renowned portrait artist and photographer Martin Scholler, good German name, filled the pages of, quote, the changing face of America, unquote. They might as well say, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? We're all turning colors. Which also included the Tangine, quote, we've become a country where race is no longer so black and white. See what happened when they brought that first load of spades into the East Coast to pick the cotton and hack the tobacco and work in the sugar cane? Yeah. Released last October, the images are meant to depict the most recent U.S. Census findings. The same year people were able to check more than one box when identifying their race and ethnicity. It was reported that 6.8 million people did in fact select more than one category in 2010. The census shows that the number had increased by 32%. Well, add 20 million mestizo Mexicans in there. The race categories were originally constructed in the 18th century by German scientist Johann Friedrich Blumenbach, who believed people were divided into five categories, red, yellow, brown, black, white, and are still used today to enforce anti-discrimination laws and to identify health issues specific to certain populations. Sure they do. Although the census does still require categorization, being able to select multiple races to self-describe is found to be more realistic and accurate in a country where interracial relationships and biracial children are more common. Immigration plays a major role in our ethnic makeup, and the majority is becoming the minority. Well, that's true, but there's some things on the horizon that I don't think you people are going to really like, you people in the diversity business. I don't think you're going to like what's on down the road as the white man, the ones that count, become more fanatic, more brutal, and more willing to do a number. Yeah. Anyhow, Let's get on to that. You can open up your email and read the rest of that article. I don't want you to get too sick today. Well, old Jimmy Carter, the peanut man, he gave a speech down at the Lyndon Johnson Library not too long ago on the 50th anniversary celebration of the Civil Wrongs Act. He gave the speech there in Austin, Texas. And Carter, who was the first of four living presidents to speak at the event, so they were all there. He said, too many people are at ease in regards to the rise of unemployed blacks, which reached 12% in February, compared with 5.8% for whites. Quote, we're pretty much dormant now, unquote, Carter said. We accept self-congratulations about the wonderful 50th anniversary, which is wonderful, but we feel like Lyndon Johnson did it and we don't have to do any more. Well, you did a hell of a lot after Lyndon Johnson was out of the picture. He also referenced the U.S. schools and issues surrounding segregation within them. In other words, where there might be a couple of more whites than non-whites. Carter, who grew up in Georgia and owes his early political career to the Klan. Don't ever let him forget that. At the time he grew up in Georgia, if you didn't walk a pretty racist line, you didn't go anywhere. Of course, he's going to deny that. But I know if Billy Carter was around, he'd admit it. Anyhow, he spoke about the influence of black culture. Well, that doesn't even fit. But culture, black, had and recalls the start of a decline in racial discrimination after he was elected governor of Georgia in 1970. Sure, because you saw the way this thing was going, just like Morris Deese, and jumped on the bandwagon. That's what politicians do. But some 40 years later, Carter believes these racial and gender inequalities are still present and persistent all over the place, and we've got to do something about it. The former president also referenced the gender wage gap. Oh, yeah, well, I never heard you talk about it when you were president. Appropriately so, the day after the National Equal Pay Day, and also vocalized his support for gay marriage. Here's a good Baptist, and Jimmy Carter, he's all for homosexual marriage. You see, politicians, that's their whole thing. Something gets going, and they wait and watch, and if it gets enough steam, and the people who put it up are screaming and yelling loud enough, then they just say, hey, I'm for that, I was for that all along. The 39th president then went on to discuss campaign contributions and noted it was partial reason for the new era of gridlock in Washington. Well, Jimmy, I'm telling you, a lot of those hardline Jews over there in Israel don't like you. So maybe you better watch out. Did you ever notice how homely the Jimmy Carter's kids were? Now, his wife was cute, but you could see the kids get it from the dad. And they are homely people. You know, even though the Republicans are pretty corrupt, in fact, very corrupt, at least they have a lot better looking people, white people. Well, the coal miners are getting screwed again. Murray Energy Company, that owns and controls coal companies all over Appalachia, has decided that they're not going to pay retirees anymore. They're not going to give them any money. Said they just can't afford it. They're down to their last $50 million. Or is it $100 million? But anyhow, that's what they've decided. And so here's these guys that worked in that crummy, toxic coal mines all their lives. And now they're going to get a lot of their retirement money cut off. Oh, that's okay. What the hell? A little slight correction on that. It was health benefits. They're going to cut off all their health benefits. So even if they're retired and have a pension, they won't be able to afford going to the hospital. Hear a little comment from old Mike Malloy this morning. See how he's feeling this morning. How about that, okay?
Absolute, top to bottom, left to right, total corruption of our political system. And perhaps you were indulging the screaming Mike Malloy. You said, well, okay, yeah, you know, there's some of that, but come on, Malloy, you're really overstating it. You're really overstating it. Really? Well, after what was revealed today, after it turns out that the guy who filed the complaint with the Department of Justice that they're taking our files is the very same guy that provided lies to the Department of Justice that he now goes to about the torture program to begin with. What are you going to do with that reality? What kind, I mean, what do you appoint? A special prosecutor? An army of them? You know what you do in a situation like this? Do you know what will happen here? Let me tell you. Nothing. Nothing. Do you know what should happen? This whole government should collapse. If this were any other government, the CIA would already be inside pushing in the pins and loosening the bolts to bring the whole goddamn thing down. Do you realize where we are right now, where it concerns self-government in this country and the absolute corruption? I don't care if his name is John Boehner or Barack Obama or Dianne Feinstein or Ron Paul or Rand Paul. Every single one of these people corrupt to the bottoms of their feet. Now, if they didn't commit any crimes against the Constitution, and this is where it might get a little dodgy for some of you, they support a system that is corrupt, that is an attack on the Constitution, that has destroyed it. Conspiracy before or after the fact, does such a thing exist? There are thousands of people in prisons in the U.S. for just that.
Well, I see you're just as excitable as ever, and I hope that's what you really mean there, Mike Malloy. But I think the stuff of talking about the Constitution is way too late. Way too late to talk about the Constitution. The Constitution had been subverted before the ink was dry. And listen, my boy and Mike is right. I just read about that the other day. You know, Constitution. Equality in the courts, equality before the law. Yeah. Fools, you fools. No, you think a lot of things aren't political, but this deal with the Gumby or Dumby out there on his ranch out there in Nevada. And I told you my feelings about that. But it's unbelievable how the right and the left line up in perfect lockstep. The left is all for the government, you know. They keep bitching about the government. But they're all saying, I wonder, we've got to obey the government. What government's wonderful. And the right wing all line up in lockstep with their program. And it's something else. Oh, and the blacks, they line up with the left, Jew left. I was listening to a black radio station on satellite last night, and I listened to for about an hour, and they were discussing this thing in Nevada. Everyone that called in was on the government side, and get those guys. Now, you know there's a racial component to this, whether people want to admit it or not, but every black that called in was on the government side. Interesting. Well, here's an interesting note from one of our associate lone wolfers. Doctors started backing off when everyone who didn't give birth to a perfectly healthy child started suing them. Certainly, some cases were malpractice, but so many things can go wrong in a birth. even when everyone has the best training and intentions, that many obstetricians stopped delivering babies and became gynecologists. The same thing is happening in medicine as in farming. Mammoth hospitals, conglomerates are forming. They buy up all the small hospitals and fire the doctors en masse. They bring in fewer doctors and leave most care in the hands of physicians' assistants. This isn't necessarily a bad thing for patients. Physicians' assistants, course of study is almost like a doctor's. Only the most intelligent make it. This practice strands doctors without hospital affiliation. They have to scramble to find a place to hospitalize their patients when necessary. Medicare and Medicaid are paying less and less and making the arcane forms harder and harder to fill out correctly. The new stupid I-STOP law in New York is making it impossible for a doctor to provide adequate pain control to patients who need it. The doctors really don't have anywhere to run, but they're desperately searching for one. Well, thank you for that comment out of New York. Well, just a few minutes ago, I got a call on my home line from Craig Cobb. I didn't answer it, but this is what he had to say. Now, why does Craig Cobb call me? He didn't take any of my advice. He kept talking about his lawyer all the time. So now he's like a man in a quicksand hole, man. He just keeps sinking deeper.
What? You message? Hi, Thomas. It's Craig Cobb, and I just wanted to tell you that in the PSI that Sandra Renton keeps repeating that lie that Gregory Bruce and Lisa Cook film, which is that kind of nice toothpaste and stuff. And it's extremely, prejudicial, because it's not true, and Schwartz didn't do it. So I'm not trying to get Steve Bay and Schwartz to arrest Leland Cook and Gregory Bruce and even Barry Striegel. Barry Striegel said I had a weapon over my shoulder when, in fact, I had an Air Mac computer standing up. I was literally a foot from him. And they all girly drama it up for the best effect. And so now here we are at the near the end of the 29th, and they continue these lies, and they won't arrest the people who make false statements to the police. Anyway, that's about it. Thank you.
This has been a habit of people for decades now. They get in trouble, and then they ask me my advice, and I give them my advice. They don't listen to a damn thing I say, and then they call back to complain they got problems. You can't help Craig Cobb now. He's already signed his rights away. Plea bargain. There's nothing can be done. He just has to write it out, baby. And he just recently said he's retiring from the right-wing racial movement. Anyhow, maybe he'll join the left-wing racial movement. Well, this is a little bit strange, I must admit. The final Easter related story in this one paper says American atheists, in an effort to raise awareness and attract new members, held their annual conference over Easter weekend in the home of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Oh boy. Well, here you go. Heaven's for Real, the movie produced by megachurch pastor T.D. Jakes, took in an estimated $21.5 million over the Easter weekend. Hollywood's fourth overtly faith-based hit for the year. For conservative Christians, however, the film is the theological equivalent of fasting on marshmallow peeps and calling it Easter, writes Kathy Grossman. Other films like Noah, Son of God, and God's Not Dead have already performed quite well at the box office. And even more religious-themed movies are on the way. Oh no. Exodus, Gods and Kings, is scheduled for December, so get ready. Here they come. Well, Obama's National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, is all upset about anti-Semitic, anti-Jew leaflets distributed in the Ukraine. They were utterly sickening, and that Obama has expressed his disgust. Ukraine's prime minister vowed the punishment of people behind the flyers ordering Jews to register. Now, if you don't know, that's an anti-Russian bunch. Put that out. I'll bet you anything. That sounds like a false flag deal if there ever was one. Obama could grant clemency to hundreds, perhaps thousands, of people locked up for nonviolent drug crimes, a number not seen since former President Gerald Ford extended amnesty to Vietnam draft dodgers in the 1970s. Well, yeah, and I'll bet you they'll all be black, too. How much you want to bet that Reuben Hurricane Carter, the boxer, was guilty as hell? There's been a whole spate of releasing blacks. All of a sudden they find new evidence, new DNA, new all kinds of bullshit to get them out. ATT. Here Michael Moynihan gives a basic introduction to who Pentti Linkola is. Specifically, it is an introduction to an essay by Linkola found in the book Apocalypse Culture 2, was printed in 2000. Both Linkola and Moynihan had hold pro-white views, albeit in their own unorthodox manner. The actual essay by Linkola, titled Human Flood, is a bit too long for me to type out at the moment. So here's something of the Finnish philosopher Pentti Linkola, who lives an ascetic life as a fisherman in a remote rural region of his frigid homeland, dares to utter the unspeakable in order for the planet to continue living. Man, or Hopo Destructivus, as Linkola names him, must be violently thinned to a mere fraction of his current global population. Linkola's metaphor for the predicament is as follows. Quote, what to do when a ship carrying 100 passengers suddenly capsizes in only one lifeboat, with room for only 10 people, has been launched? When the lifeboat is full, those who hate life will try to load it with more people and sink the lot. Those who love life and respect life will take the ship's axe and sever the extra hands that cling to the hands of the boat, unquote. Sounds like might is right. As time creaks onward, Linkola's predictions and indictments grow more dire. He has come to realize that extreme situations demand extreme solutions. Quote, we still have a chance to be cruel, but if we're not cruel today, all is lost, unquote. The sworn enemy of secular humanists, Linkola knows that the fate of the earth will never be rescued by those who exalt tenderness, love, and dandelion garlands, unquote. Neither the developed nor the underdeveloped populations deserve to survive at the expense of the biosphere as a whole. Linkola has urged that all third world aid be cut off. Well, I advocated that decades ago. Asylum status for refugees be halted. I advocated that decades ago. So that millions will starve to death or promptly be slaughtered in genocidal civil wars. Mandatory abortions should be carried out for any female who has more than two offspring. Well, that's going to upset the right-wing Christians. The only countries capable of initiating such draconian measures are those of the West. Yet, ironically, they are the ones most hamstrung by debilitating notions of liberal humanism, as Linkola explains. Quote, the United States symbolizes the worst ideologies in the world, growth and freedom, unquote. The only realistic solution will be found in the implementation of an eco-fascist regime where brutal battalions of green police, having freed their consciences from the syrup of ethics, are capable of doing whatever is necessary. In Finland, Nikola's books are bestsellers. The rest of the world clearly cannot stomach his brand of medicine, as was evidenced when the Wall Street Journal ran an article on Linkola in 1995. A stack of indignant hate mail ensued from ostensibly turn-the-other-cheek Christians, loving mothers, and assorted do-gooders. One reader squawked, quote, "Sincere advocates of depopulation should set an example for all of us and begin depopulating with themselves," unquote. Linkola's reply is far more logical. Quote, "If there was a button I could press, I would sacrifice myself without hesitating if it meant that millions of people would die." I think that's something, some of his writings we should get a hold of. I think that would go right along with Might is Right. The only trouble, Might is Right has to be for a good reason, not just for might's sake. And he's certainly right about this crazy-ass mixture of Christianity, religion, all that kind of crap mixed up into some kind of a cesspool government we've got, even though it's fake and phony and rotten to the core. It's insane. I mean, even a progressive like Mike Malloy the other night, he almost freaked out. He's just going to quit. He just couldn't take it anymore. I mean, it's gotten so bad. Of course, from his point of view, is not necessarily always our point of view, but he still comes back to that there's a way out. Maybe a kinder and gentler way out. There's no way out except blood, sweat, and goddamn tears, man. That's why the right wing is so far behind. Some of the better stuff is coming from people who've been considered left. Well, you can read all about Penti. It's Penttti, last name Linkola. You can go to Wikipedia and learn more about him, and then maybe contact him and tell him, good job. We'll send you this along in an email, this what I just read. I think we can flush out a lot of the right-wing mamby-pambies with this kind of stuff. You know, right from Might is Right and this guy. This is the kind of stuff we need to get rid of all these hobbyists and fakers. Well, this coming out of the Ukraine from Friday, pro-Russian insurgents defiantly refused Friday to surrender their weapons or give up government buildings in eastern Ukraine, despite a diplomat's accord reached in Geneva and overtures from the government of Kiev. Of course they don't want to give up, because it'll throw them right into the slop of the present rump government of Ukraine, and that'll throw them right into the hands of the World Bank and the West, right into the hands of the corrupt petty capitalists, predatory capitalists, and they prefer Russia. I don't blame them. Denis Pushlin of the self-appointed Donetsk People's Republic told reporters the insurgent in more than 10 cities do not recognize the Ukraine's interim government as legitimate. Of course they don't, because they had a president, and the Western-oriented people bounced him out of power, and so it was a coup, and so they lost legitimate government. Anyhow, and will not leave the buildings until the government resigns. He demanded the Ukrainian leaders abandon their own public buildings. Well, there you go. I don't blame them. They need to split off eastern Ukraine. Of course, you know that the Obama forces are just wanting something so they can get into it too. That's the problem. And you screw around with the Russian bear, you're going to get your hands slapped, Obama. You really want to be the nigger that started World War III? I don't know. You probably do. Anyhow, you fight with the blood, not bullshit. Boy, there's nothing sicker than a right-wing Christian racist nowadays. They've had long enough to get the message straight. I see the Southern Millionaire Center's put out a deal on Tom Robb. Tom Robb has been a rat for so long, way back before the trial in Arkansas of all the several leaders, Butler and Miles and so forth. The Baxter Bulletin reports on a number of groups identified by the Southern Poverty Law Center as hate patriots or militia groups active in the Ozarks in 2013. Well, what has happened in the Ozarks if they're there? The SPLC reported such groups by state and Arkansas, with 24 such groups, ranked 13, including several mentions in and around Harrison. Well, I've known this Tom Slob for a long time. I'm telling you. And he says there's no hate in his heart. There's no hate in his heart. Well, if you don't have any hate in your heart, you're only half a person. Do you believe him when he says, there's only love in my heart for the Jews and the black people? How do you expect to get any respect even from your enemies when you lie through your teeth, Tom Slob, and use the Christian Jesus factor to keep a cult together down there in Harrison, Arkansas? Sleaze D's goes on to mention several groups I've never heard of operating out of Arkansas, and I'll bet you every one of them votes Republican. Oh, read that Old Testament every Sunday in church. Yeah, read that Jew history, Jew nationalism every Sunday in their little churches. Oh, and this is, and Deez makes a fortune off these people. Makes a fortune. If you want to know more about it, you can go to the Arkansas Times if you want to be really bored. The Klan today, unfortunately, and it's been for quite a while, nothing but a whore. Now, this guy wrote in and told the truth into the local paper down there in Fayetteville, Arkansas. He says, I covered the Klan rally in downtown Fayetteville in 1989. I remember it because it was so pitiful. Two dozen KKK members whose numbers were exceeded by those of the Fayetteville police on patrol and the scattered bunch of onlookers, including hecklers, who exercised their First Amendment rights in protest along the market square. Now, I've always said, if you don't have the balls to protect yourself in your exhibitions in public, then stay home. When I ran the Klan in California, we had troops. We had dogs. We had uniforms. We had police helmets. We had some guns legally carried. We didn't mess around. The Klan, every place in this country that I've seen didn't act that way. They didn't train or anything. Didn't do anything. They just go downtown with a quickly made sign and walk up and down, and everybody throws shit at them. So all the Klan is good for anymore is just a whore that's being used by the Southern Poverty Law Center and the national media as a diversion to keep people's minds off really important things. But they're too stupid to know they're being used. Well, it looks like the honor of the Japanese has shrunk, taking a nosedive over the years with all this modernity and all the money they made in the 80s since we sided with Israel, and our gasoline went from a quarter a gallon up to $2 or $3 and then on up, which threw the automobile industry out of the United States and into the lap of the Japanese, who were already tooled up for it. There isn't hardly anything I can't find that screwed up the United States that somewhere Israel or the Jews are not tied to. It's almost got me to the point of being anti-Jewish. Fukushima, number one boss, admits radioactive water problems out of control. ABE lied and told an Olympic Committee meet situation was under control. This was on April 20th. The manager of Fukushima's number one nuclear power plant admits to embarrassment that repeated efforts have failed to bring under control the problem of radioactive water. 8 months after Prime Minister Shinzo Abe told the world the matter had been resolved, Tokyo Electric Power Company, the plant's operator, has been fighting a daily battle against the contaminated radioactive water since Fukushima was wrecked in March 2011. Quote, "It's embarrassing to admit, but there are certain parts of the site where we don't have full control," unquote, Akira Ono told reporters touring the plant last week. It's a lot worse than he's admitting to. A lot worse. Now just think how much more intelligent the forefathers of the Japanese of today was, because a few hundred years ago, or maybe 100 years ago, but way back, they had posted stone engraved signs all along the high water mark around that area and said, "Do not build below this line." And they've been there for a long, long time. And if they'd have listened, instead of going for the dollar bills and going the Jew way, Japan would be in great shape. As it is now, there may not be a Japan one of these days. But those markers had been there for a long, long time, telling people not to build below these markers. And they did. And if you don't listen, you'll have to feel. The trouble is, we may have to feel too. And if not from that, from all the damn nuclear plants around the United States. I mean, you know, sooner or later there's going to be a super disaster in one of them, maybe more. Now, on the 16th, they reported tons of radioactive water overflows the waste container at Fukushima plant. Around 1.1 tons of radioactive water overflowed Wednesday from a container during cleansing of a water treatment system at the crippled Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant complex, the plant operated by Tokyo Electric Power Company said. The water did not leak outside due to the barrier and remained inside the building housing and the so-called advanced liquid processing system, a facility that has been in trial operation since March of last year. The water contained about 3.8 million becquerels per liter of beta radiation emitting radioactive materials such as strontium-90. Well, that's the system for you, whether it's the Japanese or Washington or wherever you go. They're killing us. Well, an audit came out recently that says, detailed that $600 billion was squandered in Afghanistan. Now think of the billions that were squandered in Iraq. And think of what all that money could have done for the infrastructure of the United States. I mean, billions and billions and billions of dollars just down a rat hole. And when our forces, not my forces, I don't claim them, but when the military leaves Afghanistan, it'll all revert immediately right back to where it started. And when they get done spending all their ill-gotten cash that the leaders have siphoned off, they'll be back with a camel and an ass in a tent themselves again. Treason is the reason. There is an actual plan to destroy North America. There's no doubt in my mind. It can't be any other way. It's absolutely a planned murder of our system. I mean, not our system. I guess it's good because the people don't deserve any better. They don't. They let everything slide. Everybody's equal. Everything like that. So I guess, you know, like the Jew cockroach and the parasite. Nature has its own cleanup committee. In our case, it's bureaucracy is more or less the big parasite that nature sends in to clean up rotten, decaying crap. And that's what this country has become, is becoming, has become. So, when you see it going to shit, you know, when you see the damn roads going to hell, you know that the system is screwed. You know, it doesn't take a genius. But now they've said, well, if you got pothole damage, you can try to collect from the city. But Tom Slob says he has no hatred in his heart. Well, if you're a white man and don't have hatred in your heart for the system that has brought us to this position in our race, then you're dead meat. You're a liar. Tom Slob, you're a lying son of a bitch, just like most of the other right-wing so-called racial leaders that wouldn't say nigger if they had a mouthful. Have a problem saying kike. They might say Jew. But lest you think this revealed information is for everybody to really get upset, well, yes, it is. But it's simply because you've got a Democrat president. You've got Obama's president. If you had a Republican in there, this stuff wouldn't be coming out. At least most of it wouldn't be coming out. They don't give a shit about the country. They don't give a shit about the white race. They just, they want to kick the dirt on the feet of whoever's in the office of president who could turn around with executive order and change things. But none of them up in the last 20, 30 years have changed anything. So, you know, Republicans around here get all excited because I talk to these guys, you know, and all they can think of is getting rid of Obama. Well, of course I'd like to get him out of the presidency, but that's only a fraction of the problem. They're just going to put another son of a bitch who's probably a Republican in there to take his place, and he'll click his heels in Sieg Heil even more than Obama. I mean, you know, you got to have some real drastic change. And what was it Obama said? I'm going to bring change to the White House. He did. It got worse. A little more on that. The confidential U.S. assessments, which the State Department tried to hide from the public. Well, you can't hide it from the public. It's obvious. Show nearly all Afghan cabinet ministries are woefully ill-prepared to govern after the U.S. withdraws its troops, often describing the gaps in knowledge, capability, and safeguards as critical, and describing an infrastructure in danger of collapsing even left to its own accord. The State Department's U.S. aid reports, obtained by the Washington Times, paint a sober portrait about the impact of the billions of dollars the U.S. has spent on nation-building and destroying over the past decade. No, it was heroin building. It was mineral building. It was all predatory capitalists. I say Taliban. I say Afghanistan. You're better off with the Taliban. Let the Taliban have it back there in Afghanistan. I don't give a shit. Pardon my French. A Pentagon-sponsored study opens the door for super lasers and weather control. Pentagon-sponsored researchers, Dr. Strangelove, have made the reach of an extensive laser beam longer by an order of magnitude. Researchers say their discovery can be used to seed rain and trigger floods and lightning and destroy their enemy countries. But the potential scope of the application is much larger. They can destroy the whole Earth. A short, intensive laser pulse produces plasma in its path. This plasma can interact with charged particles in a storm cloud and change weather, starting rain on request and control lightning bolts. Oh, man, we have become the Jew God. They become the Jew God Dr. Strangelove. Now, here's an interesting story. This comes from the socialists. The socialistworker.org. So you'll have to take that into consideration. The Israeli newspaper Haaretz has joined pro-Israel advocates in trying to slander journalist and author Max Blumenthal for linking him to Fraser Glenn Miller, the neo-Nazi who killed three people in an anti-Semitic shooting rampage on April the 13th. You know, remember, either a person is a National Socialist or he's not. There is no such thing as a neo-Nazi. Alex Kane and Phan Nguyen, which is Vietnamese, I guess, explained what's behind this campaign in an article published at Mondo Weiss. Several images of the original post have been transcribed into text. Well, let's look in here. Before journalist author Max Blumenthal turned his eyes towards Israeli Palestine, he was a dogged investigator of the seedy world of neo-Nazism and white supremacy in the U.S. I never heard of him. Well, I have heard of Blumenthal. But now liberal Israeli newspaper Haaretz has joined right-leaning Israel advocates in trying to turn the tables on him by linking the journalist to Fraser Glenn Miller, also known as Fraser Glenn Cross, Double Cross, the suspect in the April 13th deadly shooting. Yeah, we know all that. Various personalities are waging a concerted smear campaign against Blumenthal, whose book, Goliath, Life and Loathing in Greater Israel, kicked up a storm of controversy over its indictment of Israel's human rights abuses. I guess that's when you do things like that, that's neo-Nazi. The canary in the coal mine for them was that Miller, who posted on the far-right forum Vanguard News Network as Rounder, once posted about an interview Blumenthal did on Russia Today. Quote, Jew journalist Max Blumenthal exposes and explains this attempt by a foreign government, Israel, to buy the presidential election for the neocon, warmongering Republican establishment, unquote. Miller, who has been a violent white supremacist activist long before Blumenthal began reporting, wrote. Right-wing radio host Rush Scumbaugh claimed the suspect, quote, admits he was inspired by people like Blumenthal. And that's why he took action against the three Jewish people in Kansas City, unquote. I guess he hasn't got the word that they weren't Jewish. Scumbaugh cited an article by the neoconservative writer Ron Radosh, who wrote that the posting showed, quote, who inspired him to have taken his dreadful murder today, unquote. Radosh also claims that Miller's rant was similar to the arguments of Walt Mearsheimer and John B. Judas and other realists and leftists, unquote. Front Page magazine claimed that Blumenthal was very proud at finally having achieved his dream through Cross's actions. Now, this don't even make sense. Daniel Pipes of the National Review wrote that Fraser Glenn Miller gives every appearance of being a true believer, inspired in part by Blumenthal's ravings. Boy, that's a reach. What? Supremus linking to discussions about Israel lobby is not new. Of course not. The website of David Duke, Plastic Man, has approvingly cited Mondo Weiss Audible.net, and such authors as Stephen Walt and John Mearsheimer analyzes about the Israeli lobby have been used by Duke to attempt to show malign control of U.S. foreign policy through Walt, Mearsheimer, and others are simply not anti-Semites and make clear that Zionism and Judaism are not the same. Well, it brings to mind what Tony Judt, J-U-D-T, paraphrased Arthur Koestler said during a debate on Walt and Mearsheimer's work. Quote, "You cannot help it if idiots and bigots share your views for their own reasons." Well, there's gradually, it's gradually coming together, boys and girls. There's a lot of left-wing stuff and some more intelligent right-wing stuff beginning to come together. Not a long way apart on certain subjects, like race, but on foreign policy, they're a hell of a lot more closer than they used to be, I'll tell you that. It sure drug me across the line. Now, on April the 16th, the liberal Israeli newspaper Haaretz joined the right-wing campaign. In a news article entitled "Kansas Murderer Admires Prominent Israeli Critic," Haaretz reveals that the accused shooter, Fraser Glenn Cross, repeatedly praised controversial journalist Max Blumenthal. The single source of Haaretz's claim was an article in the right-wing outlet Washington Free Beacon, a source so unreliable that it recently consulted an expert to determine that a pineapple in a Facebook photograph was a symbolic representation of the Jewish people. The Free Beacon current report was inspired by similar accusations being made by other pro-Israel outlets to smear Blumenthal for his outspoken criticism of Israel. Let's look at how accurate this claim is. Haaretz writes, according to the Free Beacon report, a search of the VNN forum, a prominent Watts Supremus website run by accused Kansas shooter, Cross finds over 300 references praising Blumenthal's criticism of the state of Israel and American Jewish support of Israel policy, end quote. Well, that proves consistent. That beyond all doubt that Rounder was a buddy of Blumenthal, right? maybe old Miller's having more effect now that he's dead than what? Well, no, now that he's... Why did I say dead? Now that he's in the Huskow than he did before. Now all he has to do is start flapping his gums inside the jail. Every single element of the sentence is false. Let's break it down. Okay. Quote, the VNN forum, a prominent white supremacist website run by Cross. Oh, it was? Wrong. The forum of the Vanguard News Network, VNN, is not run by Cross, but instead by its founder, Alex Linder, who is also listed on the VNN forum as the administrator. Quote, finds over 300 references, unquote. Wrong. The number 300 is based on a Google search for all instances of the phrase Max Blumenthal, appearing under the domain name of VNNforum.com. At the time of this writing, the Google search link provided a Free Beacon displays that the search engine initially claimed to be about 375 results. Yet a closer look reveals that Google suspects the majority of results to be duplicates, and that after weeding out these duplicates, Google finds only about 71 references to Max Blumenthal, which clears him entirely, Tommy says. Why, hell yes, we make no excuses for using things put out by left-wingers or Jews or anybody else, communists, libertarians, whatever serves our purpose. Over 300 references praising Blumenthal's criticism of the state of Israel and American Jewish support of the Israeli policy, unquote. Wrong. Among VNN's forum, approximately 46 references to Max Blumenthal, many of them would not be considered praise, nor do they reference criticism of the state of Israel or the American Jewish Committee. or Israeli policy. For instance, VNN Forum has a weird way of showing praise when its participants refer to Blumenthal as Jew Blumenthal, Max Blumenthal. Well, either he's a Jew or he's not. Why would anybody, if you're a Jew, why would you be ashamed of it? I mean, Kike, Max Blumenthal, that might piss him off. Jews use the word kike a lot against each other. It's sort of like niggers calling niggers niggers. Jewish propagandists, including Max Blumenthal, an avowed queer like Max Blumenthal, Max Blumenthal, a flamboyant exhibitionist, anti-racist, that douchebag, Gadamite, Max Blumenthal. These are statements on VNN Forum. Well, you know how that is. When you got these chat boards, anybody can say anything, and I think half of the people who put things on chat boards are federal informants and agent provocateurs anyhow. One page of the forum even links to an article that sarcastically refers to Blumenthal as a country music expert, Max Blumenthal. A different VNN page refers to obvious bias of outright misrepresentations contained in Max Blumenthal's article, while another one accuses Blumenthal of vicious character assassination. So what to all this book? Where is this going? I mean, this Socialist Party, you can go to socialistworker.org and read it. It goes on and on. So what? If VNN attacks Israel and Max Blumenthal, for his own reasons, writes a book and attacks Israel, what's the big deal by trying to put them as sweethearts? You don't have to do that. I criticize Israel and Jews all the time. Not as much as most of the right wing, because it gets boring. But Mike Malloy goes after Israel all the time. That doesn't make us sweethearts. Come on. Get off of it, man. You're just trying to muddy the water here. False flag, false flag. We got two horses of a different color here. Max Blumenthal, he's rowing his own boat, writing a book about how anti-humanist Israel is, and it's pissed off the hierarchy of Israel, and because VNN had talked saying anything good about Blumenthal, all of a sudden they want to deflect all that criticism of Israel. Because he's obviously supported and financed by VNN. That's typical of a Jew agenda, of which the press in this country go right along with. Well, that's enough of this rat's nest for today. I'm going to, this bucket of eels that we keep trying to get to the bottom of, I hope I offended somebody today. Nobody's taken me to the woodshed in a long time. You people out there listening, it got to be something you can take me to the woodshed on. You know, it's amazing how close this Blumenthal looks like a younger Dees, if you see his picture on that socialistworker.org. He looks a hell of a lot like Dees. I think he's Dees' bastard kid.
Society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety, and I always fill my ballroom, the event is never small, the social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all, I've got big balls, I've got big balls, and I've fancy big balls, and he's got big balls, and she's got big balls. My ballroom always full, and everybody comes and comes again. If your name is on the guest list, no one can take you higher. Everybody says I've got great balls of fire. I've got big balls, and he's got big balls. the pleasure. They're the balls that I like best. My balls are always bouncing to the left and to the right. It's my belief that my big balls should be held every night.
Oh,
we've got big balls!
Before. I did not. That's pretty wild, man. Come on. We got to keep it clean around here. We'll get taken in by the SPCA or something. Anyhow, if that offended you, well, you can tell me about it. Because you got, if you're going to play this game, if you're going to play the white supremacist game, you got to have big balls. Yeah, 14-5. I'll be back tomorrow. And I think Stray Dog will be in here tomorrow, I'm pretty sure.